Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're your shortcut to, well, getting smart about complex topics.
Glad to be here.
Today, we are plunging right into the really dazzling world of rare and collectible watches.
That's fascinating stuff.
Absolutely. They're way more than just timepieces, aren't they? They're art, they're history, and maybe surprisingly, they can be really savvy
Oh,
investments.
sure.
So, we've dug into a great article, Top 35 Most Expensive Watches Ever Sold at Auction as of 2025. And our mission today is simple. Give you the inside track on this pretty unique slice of the luxury market. We want to connect the dots, between the artistry, the history, and frankly, the money.
Yeah, it's a world where like tiny mechanics meet huge sums of money. What I
Oh.
find really interesting is how these things just go way beyond telling time now.
Totally, they clearly do. But what is it fundamentally that makes a watch? I mean, it's basically a tool, right? What makes it worth millions? Why isn't it just a mechanism on your wrist?
Well, there are a few things going on there. I mean, at their core, these luxury watches, they're mechanical and technical marvels. There's a real deep appreciation for the art of watchmaking
The
itself.
intricacy.
Exactly. The intricate build, hundreds of tiny parts, all perfectly synchronized. They're not just time tellers, they're mechanical wonders,
Sure.
often with these complex complications, you know.
Right, things beyond just hours and minutes, like
Yeah.
calendars,
Or
chronographs.
even a tourbillon, that amazing rotating cage thing designed to counteract gravity's effect on accuracy.
Wow.
And beyond the mechanics, they are, let's be honest, undeniable status symbols.
Okay,
The
yeah.
price, the exclusivity, it signals something about, well, achievement, taste, discernment.
And you can't ignore the fashion element either. A really elegant watch, it just finishes an outfit. It's a statement piece.
Completely agree. But here's an interesting twist. While wearing one is definitely a statement, a lot of the really extensive watches we're talking about today, they're so valuable they often just sit in a safe.
Really? So people don't even wear them.
Often not. They're just too precious. You risk damage, theft. It's a security concern. And that kind of firmly moves them into being, well, pure investment vehicles, like fine art or, you know, rare artifacts.
That's a really key distinction. And this idea of watches as a solid investment, it feels like it's really gaining steam. We're seeing a pretty positive forecast for the rare and collectible watch market heading into 2025.
Definitely. More people are looking at them, not just for beauty, but for financial potential too.
So what's driving that?
The numbers really back it up. The whole global luxury goods market is projecting a compound annual growth rate CAGR of about 4%. It's expected to hit something like $360 billion in 2025.
Wow.
And within that, for watches specifically, it's classic economics, right?
Yeah.
Limited supply, high demand.
Especially for the older stuff.
Exactly. Many of the most desirable pieces, they're just not made anymore. They're incredibly scarce.
That makes sense. I remember reading, I think it was Barron's that used Rolex watches, have actually appreciated better than gold and real estate over the last decade. That's kind of mind-blowing.
It really is. It says a lot about their enduring value. And part of what fuels that is this intense pressure on the retail side.
How so?
Well, if you want a new popular model from a luxury retailer, you could be on a wait list for over a year.
Seriously, a year.
Oh, yeah. So eager buyers, they get pushed directly towards the collectible, the secondary market. Auction houses are definitely seeing this.
Love that.
Christie's, for example, said the average price for a collectible watch at Air Auctions in 2023 was $51,300,
Okay.
which is a big jump from $32,400 back in 2018.
That's a huge increase in just 5 years.
It is. And they note the really popular models are often from the 60s and 70s, especially limited runs.
So this isn't just collectors noticing this trend. The industry sees it too.
Oh, absolutely. Paul Altieri, he's the CEO of Bob's Watches. He points out something like 95% of luxury watches aren't even in production anymore.
95%.
Yeah. So the pre-owned market is vital. He estimates it's about 30% of the whole luxury watch market now.
Okay.
But some analysts are even more bullish. Les Consult, they advise the Swiss watch industry. They think the secondary market might actually be half of all luxury watch spending
Half.
and
Wow.
growing faster than the primary market. They're forecasting maybe a 10% CAGR for the secondary market in 2025, maybe leveling out around 12%.
So demand is just way ahead of supply.
Clearly, it's a strong indicator.
Okay, so the why behind the market boom is compelling. But, for a lot of people, thinking of watches as a pure investment, totally separate from wearing them or their beauty, it still feels a bit abstract. Is it really a slam dunk, or are there, you know, big risks if you're only in it for the returns?
For many, I'd say it's a resounding yes. And if you look at the big picture, the big three in collectible watches.
Rolex, Patek Philippe, Audemars Piguet.
Those are the ones. They're top investment choices precisely because of their track record. Data from BCG Capital actually shows these brands have outperformed the S&P 500 over the last 5 years.
Outperformed the S&P? That's significant.
It is. And even independent watchmakers saw something like a 15% appreciation in that same time frame.
So even if you don't care about strapping it on your wrist, you can still play the market.
Exactly. Now, you have to be aware the market can be volatile. Some investors have definitely had years with losses, maybe up to 9%.
Okay, so it's not guaranteed.
No, not at all. But a Chrono 24 report, and they have data from like 1.3 million customers worldwide, shows overall gains are typically more in the 30% to 40% range.
That's still pretty good.
It is. But what's the catch, right? The irony here is, well, time. Time is the one thing you absolutely need if you want to invest in this asset class.
Huh. Perfectly put. It's not a get-rich-quick thing.
Definitely not. Patience is absolute key.
Okay, that's a great point. So for someone listening who might be thinking about dipping a toe in for 2025, what are some of the names or models that seem like potential high performers right now?
Well, based on trends in history, the Patek Philippe Nautilus often comes up. Demand is consistently strong, so it's seen as a fairly safe bet.
Okay, Nautilus, what else?
Then you've got the Rolex Daytona, especially models from the 60s or 70s. If you can find one with an exotic dial color, even better.
Right, those are classics.
And number three, the Audemars Piguet Royal Oak. Always iconic, always popular. Particularly the limited run editions from maybe the 70s and 80s. Those tend to be strong investments.
Got it. Nautilus, Daytona, Royal Oak. Good pointers. Okay, we've covered the market, the investment side. Now let's get to the really fun part, the stories. To truly grasp why these pieces command such insane prices, we need to look at the absolute top tier, the legends.
Absolutely. We're shifting from investment talk to like pure watchmaking legend now, where every single detail tells a part of the story.
So let's start big, a record breaker, but maybe not one people know because it wasn't an option sale. The Graff Diamonds Hallucination, $55 million. Wow.
Yeah, $55 million. It's made by Graff Diamonds, and it's generally considered the world's most expensive watch, period. It's got this incredible 110 carats of diamonds, all different colors, set in platinum.
It sounds more like jewelry than a watch.
It really is. A wearable piece of art definitely showcases what happens when you push extreme luxury into a timepiece. It's almost beyond watchmaking in a way.
Okay, but the most expensive watch ever sold at a watches auction specifically, that's the Patek Philippe Grandmaster Chime 6300A 0010. $31.1 million at Christie's back in 2019.
That one definitely set the benchmark for auctions. Mm-hmm. Huge price. And it really highlights Patek Philippe's continued dominance at the absolute top tier. They're synonymous with the best craftsmanship and, of course, rarity.
Another Patek with an incredible story is the Henry Graves Super Complication, $24 million. But the price is almost secondary to the story of rivalry, right? Take us back there.
Oh, it's a fantastic story. You have to picture the 1920s. This American banker, Henry Graves Jr., he's basically in a watch-collecting arms race with another guy who had a Vacheron Constantin.
A personal quest.
Totally. He goes to Patek Philippe with one simple mission. Build me the most complicated watch in the world. Period. And, well, they delivered. Big time.
And it wasn't exactly an overnight job, was it?
Oh, not at all. Took 3 years just to design it, and then another 5 years to actually painstakingly build the thing.
8 years total.
Yep. Delivered in 1933, and it was like a miniature universe in your pocket.
Oh.
Over 24 functions, perpetual calendar, a celestial map of the sky over New York, Westminster chimes. It was pushing every mechanical boundary known at the time.
Incredible. And talk about return on investment. It cost Graves about $15,000 back in 33. Then it sells for $11 million in 1999, then $24 million in 2014. That's more than just profit.
Exactly. It shows how these deep historical stories, combined with that unmatched craftsmanship, create this undying allure. It lasts generations.
It really proves that these aren't just bought. They're sort of custodianship passes down, and the value grows with the legend.
Precisely. The story deepens, the historical significance grows, and so does the price.
Okay, let's shift to maybe the most iconic wristwatch story. The Rolex Paul Newman Daytona Ref, 62239, $17.75 million. Still the record for a wristwatch, right? As of 2025.
That's right. And this watch Its story is all about the power of provenance. It's a 1968 Rolex Cosmograph Daytona, Ref 6239. And what's really funny is the Daytona model wasn't even that popular at first.
Really? I thought it was always iconic.
Nope. It only really became famous after Paul Newman started wearing his. It's a perfect example of celebrity influence making a model legendary.
And the backstory is amazing. His wife, Joanne Woodward, gave it to him in 68.
Yeah, engraved "Drive Carefully Me" on the back. Possibly because he'd had a motorcycle accident a few years earlier. And he wore it pretty much every single day for 16 years. Imagine that. It became this almost mythical object for watch nerds.
And then it disappeared for ages.
For decades. No one knew where it was. It became this ultimate holy grail. Then boom. 2017, it reappears. Turns out Newman had given it years ago to his daughter's boyfriend at the time, James Cox, as a thank you for helping with some DIY.
No way. He just gave it to him.
Yep. And Cox apparently wore it for about 10 years, having no idea how valuable it was.
That's incredible.
Eventually, Cox and Newman's daughter, Nell, decided to sell it, with proceeds going to charity. The auction at Phillips was just electric.
Yeah.
Opened with $1 million absentee bid, jumped straight to $10 million by phone.
Wow.
And the hammer finally fell at $15.5 million, which became $17.75 million with the buyer's premium.
So what was it that drove that price so high? Just the Newman connection?
There's really two main things, provenance and rarity. The provenance was huge. Paul Newman wore this watch daily for 16 years. All the little scratches, dings, imperfections, Newman put them there. It's his personal history embedded in the metal.
That's powerful.
And then the rarity factor, amplified by its disappearance for three decades, that created this aura like it was unattainable. When it finally came back, that mystique was still attached, driving the value way up. It wasn't just a watch. It was a tangible piece of Paul Newman's life.
A huge lesson in how story adds value. Okay, moving on. Patek Philippe, again, the stainless steel 1948 ref 1518, sold for $9.7 million.
Right. This one's important historically. It was the world's first perpetual calendar chronograph wristwatch that also had a moon phase display. Originally came out in 1941.
First ever.
For series produced one, yeah. And the stainless steel version is incredibly rare. They think only four were ever made.
Only four.
That's the estimate.
Mm-hmm.
So that extreme scarcity, plus its importance as a groundbreaking complication, meant it set a wristwatch record when it sold in 2016.
Makes sense. Now, something different from an independent watchmaker. Philippe Dufour Grande Outil Sonnerie, number one, $5.21 million.
Yes, Philippe Dufour is revered among collectors. This piece, from 1992, is by far the most expensive watch ever sold by an independent maker. Its mechanical genius lies in being the first wristwatch to actually strike the time, automatically dinging the hours and quarters without the wearer needing to push a button.
Like a tiny grandfather clock on your wrist.
Kind of. A huge technical feat at that miniature scale. Really highlights extreme individual craftsmanship.
Then back to Rolex, but with royalty. The Rolex Bao Dai Ref, 6062 triple calendar moon phase. $5.06 million.
Ah, the Bao Dai, another legendary piece. Its value comes from two things.
Mm-hmm.
First, its unique configuration. It's the only known ref. 6062, that's the model number with a black dial and baguette diamond hour markers. Super rare combo.
Yeah, and the second thing.
Imperial provenance. It belonged to Bao Dai, who was the last emperor of Vietnam.
Wow.
That royal connection plus the unique look made it incredibly desirable. It actually broke the auction record for any Rolex twice. First in 2002, then again in 2002, then again in 2017 at that $5.06 million price before the Paul Newman Daytona eventually beat it.
Incredible history. Okay, one more Patek Philippe, or rather a pair. The Caliber 89. Yellow gold sold for $5.042 million, white gold for $5.03 million.
The Caliber 89s are beasts. They were created back in 1989 specifically for Patek Philippe's 150th anniversary. Only four were ever made, one each in yellow gold, white gold, pink gold, and platinum.
And they were known for complexity.
For over 25 years, the Caliber 89 was considered the single most complicated watch in the world.
Yeah.
It has an astounding 33 complications.
33? What does that even include?
Oh, everything. Celestial map, perpetual calendar, sunrise, sunset times, world time for 125 cities, minute repeater, thermometer, barometer, hygrometer, altimeter, even a compass. It's just packed. A true marvel of miniature engineering.
It really is like a tiny wearable universe. These examples just perfectly illustrate those value drivers you talked about earlier.
They absolutely do. And what's really interesting is how these specific incredible watches connect back to the broader themes that really determine a watch's long-term value, often beyond just the mechanics.
So, stepping back, what does this all tell us about the enduring legacy? What are the big takeaways about what truly drives value?
Well, if you connect the dots, it's clear that historical connections, especially royal allure, play a big part. You look at Patek Philippe's client list. Queen Victoria, kings from Denmark and Italy, a sultan from Egypt.
Wow.
Vacheron Constantin had Napoleon Bonaparte, President Truman. These links to history add this undeniable layer of prestige.
And that hasn't really stopped, has it? We see modern celebrities, Cristiano Ronaldo, Leonardo DiCaprio, Daniel Craig.
Exactly. They continue that tradition. And you mentioned Daniel Craig, his James Bond character, helped make Rolex cool way back in the 60s. That pop culture influence is huge.
Right.
And then, of course, there are the pioneering brands themselves. Rolex, founded in 1905, probably the most famous, most collected brand. They were key in popularizing the wristwatch after World War I.
Mm-hmm.
Soldiers in trenches found pocket watches just weren't practical.
Good.
And Patek Philippe, founded way back in 1852. They're behind so many key innovations. The perpetual calendar, the split seconds hand, the chronograph, the minute repeater. These brands are milestones.
So if we had to boil it all down, what are the absolute key drivers we keep seeing again and again in these stories?
Okay, number one, rarity. Limited runs, unique designs like that Rolex exotic dial or okay. The Patek 1518 in steel. Fewer means more valuable.
Got it, rarity.
Number two, provenance. Who owned it? Was it a celebrity, royalty, someone historically significant? Even the wear and tear, like on the Newman Daytona, that tells a personal story. That matters a lot.
Provenance. Makes sense.
Three, condition. This is huge. Collectors want pieces in spectacular, all original condition. No dodgy restoration or cosmetic work. Originality boosts value significantly.
Condition, right.
Four, craftsmanship and complications. The sheer mechanical genius. How complex is the movement? How well is it made? That technical brilliance is core.
Craftsmanship. Yep.
And finally, number five, underpinning everything. Market dynamics. Simple supply and demand. High demand, limited supply.
Mm-hmm.
Prices go up. These five pillars, rarity, provenance, condition, craftsmanship, and market dynamics, they really define the value.
What an absolutely fascinating journey through this world, from the sheer precision of the mechanics to the art in the design, the incredible history packed into these tiny objects, and their surprising power as investments. It's a whole universe.
It really is. They're not just objects telling time, are they? They're like little vessels carrying human ingenuity, bits of history, personal stories, all ticking away with this undeniable pull.
So listening to all this, it makes you think, doesn't it? Considering how much meaning and value we can pour into something designed just to measure time, what does that really tell you about our fascination with legacy, with precision, with things we can't quite touch, the intangible?
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder, what other everyday things out there might be holding their own hidden universes of stories and unexpected value just waiting for their own deep dive?